Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Conklin Show, joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish, of course, has his own show here from 4 to 6 every day. Gary Parrish Show. Also, national college basketball columnist, commentator, all of that for CBS. CBS Sports, and has a wildly popular podcast. Also a multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of meteorology. He joins me now. You know, GP, I was thinking today, did you see that Conan O'Brien sold his podcast to Sirius for $150 million? Did you see this?
I did. There's apparently a lot of money in the podcast.
Occurs to me, you have a wildly popular podcast, but you don't own a damn thing. Like, I think you should sell it. I mean, I far be it from me to count someone else's money or be in someone else's business. But if I were you, I'd sell it for $150 million.
Well, CBS owns it. and CBS, by extension, owns me.
Damn it.
So that's the way that works.
I'm
very fortunate and am appreciative of the career that I've carved out and the things that it allows me to have and do. But have I ever thought, how much is this thing worth if it were independent and I could sell it to somebody? Sure, I've had that thought. And at this point, I don't think that's on the horizon. But I'll say this. Sometimes, I don't know the right way to say this. Every time your contract starts to come up, you go, man, am I really worth this to these people? Like, are they really going to pay me this again or more than this? And then you start looking at podcast numbers and you see what other people are getting for their podcast. And you go, maybe not only am I worth this, maybe I'm actually a bargain. Maybe I'm on the wrong side.
How much of what you get paid by CBS do you think is, in terms of the way they think about it and the way they justify your salary, how much of it is TV versus writing and clicks versus podcast is your largest value to them? If God handed them a tablet and said, Gary can only do one thing going forward, what would they have you do?
TV, I think. But I don't know how valuable I am. Like, I don't know how much I change the numbers on TV. Like, I'm not under
People would still watch, right?
So I think my value when it comes to TV is that I can do it, and I can do a lot of different things. So for CBS Sports, they know, okay, we need somebody for studio. Gary can do that. We need somebody on the sideline because all of our sideline reporters are – you know, at NFL playoff games or college bowl games. Well, Gary can do that. Adam Schein is out. We need somebody to host Time to Shine next week. Well, Gary can do that. You know, I can do a lot of different things. Jim Rome's out. We need somebody to host the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio. Well, Gary can do that. My value from that perspective is that I can do all of these things. Whether I do them well or not, other people can decide. But I can do them all, and they're comfortable allowing me to do them all. So I think that's mostly my value for TV. Podcast is, there are ESPN podcasts and Fox Sports podcasts. You know, it's not like CBS is the only one with a college basketball podcast. And, you know, ours does better than anybody else's. And, I don't know exactly why that is, but I'd like to think maybe I got something to do with it. So podcasting would be real value, I think. And I was honestly told by one of my bosses, when you get into that part of the year where you get overwhelmed,
right?
I was told if you never want to write again, you don't have to. Like, right. You know, if that was a demand,
right.
Like, I never want to write again, that is the least value. It might be the best thing you do, but it's the least valuable thing you do in the year 2022. So it's wild. When I signed my first contract with CBS in 2006, it was strictly to write. That's all. That's all that existed. It was strictly to write. And now it is literally the thing I do less, and I'm told the thing that is least valuable.
It is interesting. People decide to leave institutions where they, you know, where they are successful, and they make a bet on themselves. You know, it's not the institution that makes me successful. It's me that makes me successful. So you see Dan Patrick leaving ESPN. You see Dan Le Batard recently, right, leaving ESPN, and he just did a radio show, and he starts this whole podcast thing now, right, the Dan Le Batard, and sold it for gazillion dollars. And I'm sure there are other people who've done the same thing who disappear under the sea, right? It is an interesting question, because that is how you become as a mega gazillionaire as opposed to a wealthy salaried person at a media company. And it's determining whether you have the value or enough value to succeed, because there is a endless appetite right now for podcasts and for content. If you're on your own creating it, there is huge value in that, right?
Oh, sure. Like, you know, I have an agent and who also represents a lot of other more successful people than me. And I know what some of these numbers are being thrown out at, like, you know, to people who have podcasts that register well. I mean, it's million-dollar contracts and guaranteed money. I mean, you saw with the girl Call Me Daddy podcast, you know, that started at Barstool.
Alex,
like,
Cooper.
You saw what she, Alex Cooper, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
What she got. I mean,
I didn't see what she got. I'm not familiar with her work.
Okay, well, she started a podcast, and this is where, like, Dave Portnoy is kind of, you know, he's, on one hand, he's, you know, a little out of control,
right?
But like, he does tend to make, you know, he does tend to recognize talent,
right?
And you know, that's how he built this thing at Barstool. So Alex Cooper had her own little podcast, you know, in just for context, she's a really attractive young blonde woman, and
it was about
it
sex?
Was just her. Yeah, it's just a sex podcast. I mean, okay. It's just her telling stories.
Right.
Like, when, you know, at one point in the early stages of the podcast, she was actually dating Noah Syndergaard, who was the star pitcher of the Mets. Okay. Now he's with the Angels, and so it's just her. Like, so I was with this guy one time, and she's just telling these. They're not outrageous stories. They're the types of stories that young people have, but
right.
You don't hear women talking about them publicly
right.
So often. And this podcast, so Dave Portnoy was like, hot woman talking very candidly about sex. I bet let's hire her. So he hires her to work at Barstool, and they do the podcast under the Barstool umbrella, and it blows up. It's like most listened to podcast, or top 5 or top 10 or whatever. Anyway, her contract expires with Barstool, and she signed a $60 million deal with Spotify. I mean, this girl was just, she was just somebody who started a podcast. And within a
right,
couple
and that's,
of years,
that's the difference between, I know you are.
And her show is once a week.
I know you are amply compensated, GP, but you're not worth $60 million.
I do not have $60 million. I do,
thanks
I do
for,
fine.
Thanks
but
for clarifying, right, yeah. And
but,
that
but
is,
I don't have $60
yeah.
million. But no, that's how I have reached a point where I can live a very comfortable life, you know, and I'm so appreciative of that. I have more than I ever thought I would have, and I it blows me away, and I'm appreciative of it. I do not take it for granted. But yeah, if you want to make $60 million,
you got to go on your
you
own.
Know,
then you
got
to go on your
you
own.
You got to go on your own, or you got to be, you know, Tony Romo. You know, it's
well,
one
it is
of those
funny, like John Canzano. Really had my job in Portland, right? He's got a radio show in Portland. He is the biggest columnist in Portland. And he worked for the Oregonian for a long time, won all kinds of awards, tremendous columnist. And I talked to him when I was out there. He does his own thing. He just left voluntarily and he still does the radio show, but he does his own thing, and he says he can do better. Like he's already doing better. He says. So it is interesting. It is a bet on
yours. It would be a real risk for me because I realize this sounds ridiculous, but this is the conversation we're having. I'm doing great, you know.
Right.
And to just say,
no, it would
hey,
be. Yeah. No, someone would have to come to you and say,
yeah.
We will give you $30 million to do a podcast for us, create basketball content for us, right?
That's right.
If a betting site, which is another into this stuff, like they're creating content too now, right? So if a betting site came to you and said, hey, GP, we need content. We need college basketball content. We will give you $30 million to do this. Then you would go do it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And what's funny thing is Conan O'Brien is kind of he's not a failed comedian. But he's kind of like he's incredibly successful comedian, right? But not that successful a TV host, really, right? And he just sold his damn podcast for $150 million.
No, it's wild. I mean, that's a massive number. And then you see like what Joe Rogan got and what Pat McAfee got. And now those podcasts are in another stratosphere,
right?
From most. But that money is available. Like, honest to God, if you were trying to talk to a young journalism student right now, it'd be like,
well, I have one sitting here. I have one sitting here. You know, it was some good shadow today. Make $60 million from a podcast.
Build an incredible podcast and hey, put your reporting notebook down and go make an incredible podcast, because that's where there's real money out there. And like, not to get too into it.
There's also a million podcasts, though, that nobody listens to. Let's be clear, right?
There's 20 podcasts that make this kind of money. And then the rest of the podcasts, you know, they get 73 listens episode, right?
Yeah.
So like, there's way more of those than there are of the Joe Rogans and the Alexandra Coopers and all of those. But you know, my agent has done these types of deals, you know, and so like, if it's, how about this, if it's available to me, I'll know at some point.
Right.
And then you make those decisions when you can make those decisions.
John Martin yesterday on Cap or No Cap said that, I think he basically made the argument that SNL should be canceled. It's irrelevant. It's stupid. What do you think? What is the significance of SNL in the modern cultural landscape?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's the fact that they can still get incredible stars to be on it as both host and musical guests suggests it's not irrelevant.
Right.
I still watch it every episode.
Do you watch watch it that night or do you watch it the next day?
I tend to be awake on Saturday night.
So you watch it live. Wow.
Yeah, I usually watch it live because, honestly, everybody in my house goes to bed before I go to bed.
Right.
More often than not. And so I'll be up, you know, sports is wrapping up for the night, usually. And, yeah, I just turn on Saturday Night Live. And I don't love every sketch. I don't think it's all funny, but Weekend Update's usually really good. The musical guests are typically interesting. The opening monologue is worth seeing. In fact, like last night, Kelly did not watch this past Saturday night's episode. So, like last night, we watched the season finale. Like that's what we laid in bed and watched last night was Saturday Night Live. So, does it still hold the same place it once held? I'm not sure. But the idea that it's irrelevant—that's silly. I mean, Pete Davidson's one of the most famous, talked about people in the country right now, and you know he's a cast member. He just had Harry Styles on, like that guy's doing 10 nights at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
He was the musical guest. It's not irrelevant. It might not be for
everybody.
I think
that was hyperbole. I think that it's lost its significance. I think it is true that once upon a time, there were fewer vehicles, like in many arenas. If you wanted to become a well-known comic, SNL had to be your launching pad. Now you can become a well-known comic by doing impressions on TikTok. You know, so... but it doesn't mean it's, yes, I still watch it. I just wondered if I was an old, you know, fogey for watching it, you know, like if it was.
No, well, look, keep in mind, I'm 45 years old. So I grew up with it. So am I still watching it? Like is my 19-year-old watching Saturday Night Live? Probably not. Might he see something from Saturday Night Live on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram?
Right.
Probably. And honestly, that's where late night television is these days. Like James Corden has talked about this. He says, I don't think of myself as someone who does a television show. He says, I do a show that is on television, but really flourishes on YouTube. Right. I do a YouTube.
It's a series of YouTube segments, right?
That's right. I do YouTube segments that happen to go together and create a television show. But he's actually talked about this before. He said, I don't know if I would enjoy doing this if it were the way it used to be. Like when David Letterman had that same 12:30 Eastern time slot before he moved to CBS, he had the 12:30 Eastern slot at NBC after Johnny Carson. And he said, in that era, you've got a television show that comes on after midnight on the East Coast, and it comes on, and then it's over, and then it's just gone. It didn't live on YouTube. It didn't live on Instagram. And he said, that would have felt really unfulfilling to me, because I would have felt like, I'm putting all this work in. Who is actually hearing this? He said, but now I know it doesn't even matter, really, how many people are awake at 12:35 Eastern to watch my monologue. I know that, 10 million people will see it tomorrow when they wake up, because it'll be, on YouTube and they'll see it. So he really just, he's explained it. I do a YouTube show that happens to be on TV late at night. And that's, Saturday Night Live is some of that as well. Saturday Night Live is, you might not see it all live, but the big things, any interesting or hilarious thing that happens, it'll be trending on social media, the following day.
We had draft combine stuff over last week, and it's interesting. You're starting to get stories coming out. Most stories seem to be indicating that Orlando is going to take Jabari Smith, although I think I saw John Hollinger wrote that Orlando likes length and they're going to take Chet Holmgren. So who the hell knows? I was interested, though, Andrew Nembhard, who we, of course, were familiar with because he beat the hell out of the Tigers, really was massive in that game where Gonzaga beat Memphis. He was at the combine and had evidently very good combine, very good, played really well in those games. And then Drew Timmy, was there too, much less raving about him. Although once, I think, was it, he traveled and he said, they're not ready for that sauce is what he said. He's a hilarious guy. What do you think of either of those guys and their draft prospects or pro prospects?
Well, Nembhard, I think, can play in the NBA. I don't know that he's a first-round pick, but I could see him getting picked in the second round. Or certainly you look up in, February, and it's like, oh, wow, he plays for the Hornets. That's interesting. I remember him. Like, I can see something like that happening. Drew Timmy's interesting because he's obviously an incredible college basketball player and has been for multiple years. And he's been to, a Final Four. He's played the title game. He's, been on back-to-back number one seats. Guys like that under normal circumstances would just, it's time to get on with it. Like, I've done everything I'm going to do as a college player, and it appears likely I'm never going to be able to do the things I need to do to become a lottery pick. I'm going to have to play my way into the NBA. So, like, let's just get on with it. Let's start playing my way into the NBA. Like, because of my lack of athleticism and all these other things that the NBA values, they're never going to draft me where I want to be drafted. They're just not. They're always going to see me as awesome college player who doesn't translate well to the NBA. I'm going to have to get to the NBA and show them I can play. So, like, let's just get on with it. If I got to start in the G League, I'll start in the G League, and I'll go be the MVP of the G League, and then I'll get called up, and somebody will get hurt, and I'll play in an NBA game, and they'll see I can play. And that's the way I'm going to have to get there. And that might ultimately be what he does. But with name, image, and likeness rights, there's a lot of money waiting on him back at Gonzaga. So he's not just picking between another year of college and whatever pro opportunity exists. He's picking between whatever pro opportunity exists and a lot of money waiting for him to be, one of the stars of college basketball once again. Now, it is notable because at Gonzaga, he doesn't really shoot the ball from the perimeter at all. And yet at the combine, there was a game last week where he was 4 or 5 from three. And so that tells me he went there, I'm going to shoot the ball, because that's what they need to see. If I'm going to be a power forward in the NBA, they need to see I can shoot the ball. I don't really shoot it at Gonzaga, but I'm going to shoot it here. And so that apparently opened some eyes from NBA people. Like, okay, can he do this? Did he not do it at Gonzaga because he can't do it, or because it wasn't part of what they were trying to do? Because if you got Chet Holmgren out there floating on the perimeter, you don't also want Drew Timmy floating on the perimeter. So if he proves in these workouts coming up that he can consistently make that shot, I could see somebody taking a flyer on him, not a flyer, but taking a chance on him, spending a pick on him in the second round. But, you know, he's a classic case of awesome college player who doesn't fit well with the way the NBA is being played right now. And that goes for a lot of guys. Kofi Coburn out of Illinois, Armando Bacot out of North Carolina, Hunter Dickinson out of Michigan. In fact, I'm going to write a story later this week after talking to some NBA people about how the game changing at the NBA level so much has really limited the opportunities for traditional centers. And the byproduct of that is that these traditional centers who would never 20 years ago be doing another year of college are, for the most part, all coming back to college.
Kofi Coburn is not, right? And he's going to be a first-round pick, it feels like. No? Second round.
I would think second round.
He's a massive human being.
Massive human being. Rips. Like, if this were 1990, he would maybe be the number one pick in the draft. But given that it's 2022, he might not get picked at all. Because massive human being, you throw it to, just physically overwhelms people around the rim, dunks it hard. Like, I'm not comparing him to Shaquille O'Neal, but like in college, sometimes that is what he looked like. And the problem, of course, is, you know, that's the perfect example of a guy who gets played off the court in the NBA. In the modern NBA, if you cannot guard in space, move your feet, stay in front of smaller players, and stretch the floor, unless you're an elite rim protector, you have a hard time, you know, finding carving out a role. Unless, you know, like Jalen Duren is going to get picked probably in the lottery because he's a tip-top athlete and incredible rim protector, and, you know, we'll figure the other stuff out. But Coburn's not really a rim protector. He's not a great athlete. He doesn't move his feet well. He can't guard in space. You know, so, like, is he just a backup center at best? And if he's a backup center at best, do you take him in the first round? Maybe, but I'd be surprised if he's a first-round pick. He's one that, for the reasons that these other guys are coming back to school, I thought that he would come back to school as well. But, you know, they get to make their own decisions, and he's decided he wanted to be done with college, and I wish him luck.
It is interesting. It feels like it feels like Jalen Duren. If I had to say, is he going to go in the top 10? I might say no. I think he's more apt to go in the low teens. And Kennedy Chandler, it feels to me like, because he's so little bitty, I bet he's going to go 20 or below. You know, and I wouldn't have, just physically, because of how they fit in the NBA, right? Both of them.
Do you remember the big controversial thing I said about Jalen Duren last summer?
He's not a top, what'd you say? You said he's not a top five pick? Top three pick? What'd you say?
I said he's listed as the number one player in his class, and I just don't see that at all because he's more of a traditional big than not, and I'll be shocked if he's ever under consideration to be the first pick in the draft. That's all you said, right? That's all I said. And so what I actually said, he'll go closer to 10 than 1. That's what I said. Now he might not even go in the top 10. And it wasn't based on Jalen Duren any more than it's the same thing I would say about anybody who's not a modern center who can, you know, stretch the floor and guard in space and all that stuff. So now, like, reality is setting in. It's not like Jalen Duren came to Memphis and embarrassed himself. He was awesome. He was awesome at Memphis. But he's just not a great fit for the NBA. It doesn't mean he won't turn out to be a really good NBA player. But in terms of the draft process, from the first day I saw him in person last summer, I said, there is no way NBA people are going to watch him and go, that's a candidate to be number one, because he doesn't fit well with the modern NBA. And so now here we are. With Kennedy Chandler, that's the thing. He's just very, very small. You know, it's like, I think at Tennessee he was listed at 6 foot. He's not 6 foot. I think he measured
5'11".
Right at
5'11", something.
Yeah, in shoes, you know, so that's really like 5'10". And he's a little guy, but little guys can succeed in the NBA. You know, Fred VanVleet is a little guy. Chris Paul's obviously a little guy. I think Kennedy is going to be able to make that shot. You know, he didn't shoot it tremendously at Tennessee, but I do think he's a really good shooter. I'm gonna bet on him to make it. If you take him at 19 or 21 or, you know, the Grizzlies at 22 or anywhere in the 20s, I feel like you're going to be glad that you did when we look up in 3 years. Nothing's guaranteed, but I'm a believer in Kennedy Chandler figuring out a way despite his physical limitations, to make it in the NBA.
GP, thanks very much. Talk to you 5 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.